Growing up, we had a fan in our apartment that made a loud clicking noise. We couldn't afford a new one, so we kept it. After a while, the clicking noise didn't bother us, almost like it wasn't there. We only remembered when new people visited and reminded us of the noise. That's how the violence in our city was during the summer. I came from the West Side. At 14 years old in my neighborhood, kids had experienced what most soldiers witnessed in war. At 15, I had already run for my life, had bullets fly straight past my head, skipped over pools of blood, and witnessed dead bodies on the street. On my block, there were 11 raggedy-ass buildings, 5 vacant lots filled with empty 40-ounce beer bottles, and 4 liquor stores that locked down each corner. It's hard to believe in the American dream when you walk home through streets of abandoned buildings scattered with baggies of drugs. It's like God existed everywhere but here. It's from the opening of A Most Beautiful Thing, the true story of America's first all-black high school rowing team by Arshay Cooper. And before I go any further, I want to read from the end of the book to give you an immediate sense of the sweep that we are going to have as we go through the story that Arshay tells us. He wraps up in the final chapter, not the final words, but he wraps up with these words. "We may be a little rough around the edges, but we'll race with a purpose far greater than who might win. A symbol for what can be possible when unlikely gang rivals manage to come together as one. When I look at them, it's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen." At their very best, biographies, memoirs like this one, take us both into the life of the person we're reading about and talk about the larger society in which the person, the biography, lives. So it is with A Most Beautiful Thing. Our story, for that is how our book unfolds to us as a story, begins with that gritty description of the author's early years in the West Chicago worlds of low-income housing, all-too-common shootings, and a school system where few students are expected to move on to college and only a bare minimum are expected to graduate. We can feel the sense of diminished expectations as we turn those early pages, expectations that are upended in our author's family when his mother suddenly moves from a life of drug dependence to a passion for Christian redemption and family turnaround. Into this world of despair at school and herky-jerky uplift at home, parachutes in a well-meaning Chicago philanthropist who offers the guys and the gals at Manly High School the opportunity to join what will become the first all-African-American high school rowing team. You can well imagine the skepticism and bewilderment the student body feels about all of this, feeling shared by the would-be rowers themselves. As Arshay writes about that early time in the formation of this rowing team, they're about to go on a big trip, their first, and he tells us. "Once all 19 students have arrived, 15 boys and 4 girls, Ken asks everyone to get on the bus. Everyone kisses their families goodbye. Okay, Ken says, looking out over all of us, I want you guys to have fun. I only have 3 rules. No baby making, no fighting, and listen to your coaches." "Got it," we say back. "Have fun and see you there." Coach Victor tells us to raise our hand when he says our name. Arshay, Malcolm, Anthony, who is Pookie, Preston, Leslie, Leah, Terry, Antoine, Tavares, Deshaun, Ronald, Alvin, Arthur, Sabrina, a friend who came along with Leah, Tanika, Marcus, Fadus, Elliot, Danny. We are all accounted for. I guess Poo Trigga's name is Tavares. "Okay, guys, this is our training camp. Let's see who can make it past this, and then we're on our way to history." We start clapping and shouting. I'm not sure if this is going to be a disaster or a success, but time will tell. It's the 1990s, and our philanthropist and the school's athletic department, who have signed on to support this opportunity for their students, are persistent, and little by little, The peculiar challenge of finding out more about rowing, of all things, pulls a number of the high school teens into the cramped girls' gym for after-school meetups, where they're challenged to try out the ERG, the everyday strength and character-building rowing machine. In our authors, and others who show up, is intrigued by the muscular power and the mental toughness it takes to get the rowing machine upon which he sits to bend to his will. He's encouraged by his soon-to-be coach and a few other fellow students so that he finally works up the courage to ask his mother to let him be a part of this peculiar inner-city experiment. Though skeptical of the enterprise and her son's involvement with it, Mom says yes, and off he and we go with that team we just read. All the while, Arshay is training and making his way through what many of us would consider a harrowing life in and out of school every day. Our author is pining over the girl of his dreams, one of the smartest and most popular at Manly High. In the backstory of how he stumbles in oh-so-adolescent ways into wooing and finally dating her, kind of, our high school memoir stuff at its best. It's a great sub-story to the larger arc. The story is told in first person, and it is indeed a beautiful thing. A beautiful and sometimes painful and ultimately hope-filling story of a group of very different and ultimately very purposeful young men and women from the west side of Chicago who found ways to come together to fulfill their dreams, to be the first black high school rowing team, not only in Chicago or in Illinois or in the Midwest, but in all of the U.S. of A. What, you may ask, do these teenagers know about rowing? Or swimming? Or teaming up with folks with whom they are more likely to ignore, at best, or fight and argue with in their lives in school and outside of it? Will Arshay and his teammates ask the very same thing? And how they answer those questions for themselves, and then for us, propel the story into our hearts as much as into our minds. The story here is more often than not unvarnished. It's not primed for our majority culture's eyes and sensibilities. Arshay doesn't pull his punches when writing about his and other team members' suspicions about the white coaches who devote their energies and support to the nascent team and towards the white philanthropist who jumpstarts this group of high school students together to achieve a great and, indeed, a beautiful thing. He's more than a little forward in his language and his take on the whys and the hows of the year-long tension fraught from the beginning to successful race ending that he recounts in these pages. So, no, this is not entirely a happy, feel-good story from the start. But it ends, as I said, on a really high, optimistic note. And did I mention the writing? Well, the prose in this book glides almost as smoothly as their boats do on the lakes upon which they row. The story is all the better for the words and the phrases with which it is written. With the 2021 Olympics soon to begin in Tokyo, we know we'll be delighting to live action, or at least taped live action, of sports we don't normally get to see with such huge audiences, crewing or rowing being one of those sports. Let me note that if you enjoyed Boys in the Boat, written several years ago, about the 1936 extraordinary American working-class team of young white men who surprised and startled Nazi Germany by winning the 1936 Olympics in Berlin, I think you'll be glad if you make room in your summer reading list for this contemporary experience of a modern-day team from America's less advantaged part of the Midwest, the west side of Chicago, who find beauty and wonder in what is so often seen, not unfairly, as a rich white person's sport. Let's finish by reading from that last chapter, A Most Beautiful Thing, the true story of America's first all-black high school rowing team. It's an inspiring, as I said, story that ends on an upbeat way after starting in kind of a downbeat way. He tells us, after having come in, spoiler alert, coming in third in this great high school Midwest meet in Grand Rapids, Michigan, they went in thinking they were going to blow everybody else away. Turns out they do quite well. Not first place, but certainly far from last. Arshay writes, in this moment, with my face in my lap and my heart in my stomach. I can hear my teammates saying thank you. I look up and the teams that have passed the finish line are giving us head nods and thumbs up. They are all showing us the utmost respect. There is still one team that hasn't made it past the finish line yet, so we wait and clap for them when they do. While I'm sitting on the boat, I look over at Coach's face. He doesn't show any signs of disappointment, but I know he is. Any coach would be. The only thing I do see on his face is pride. He's never seen anything like this in all his years of rowing. We're a group of black kids from the turbulent west side of Chicago, surrounded by a group of Midwestern white kids, all sharing praise and respect in the middle of a lake. We are all honored to be a part of this. And rowing us has helped achieve Ken's vision for our lives. He once said, win or lose, rowing is the tool you use to fix things. Now I understand that. When I was angry, the erg helped. When I needed peace, the water helped. When I needed discipline, the sport helped. Although I feel bad and unworthy of anything right now, I can't help but think of a couple years ago when some of us were basically the rejects and outcasts of our communities. But now we are considered the solution. We know who we are. Beyond winning or losing, past the sound of the start and the cheer of the crowd, the history we make today is simple, that we survived. I survived my past. In crew, you move ahead by looking in the opposite direction. I learned that it's okay to look back as long as you keep moving forward. A Most Beautiful Thing, one of the best-titled books I've read in a long time. The true story of America's first all-black high school rowing team by Arshay Cooper. It is, as you may know, a documentary narrated by Common. Hope you watch that. Really hope you read the book. It's quite a good read. And it's available at all of our fine local public libraries, including, of course, the West Lafayette Public Library. Thanks for listening.